Thank you. I'd like to thank the organizers for giving me the opportunity to give this talk today. Okay, so this work is a work in collaboration with Anya Pelcher from Jagiellonian University and Christian Rosendahl from Paris 6. Both of them are in the room today. Okay, so this is about a question by Haskell Rosendahl. So this is really a day which should be called a day in the honor of Haskell Rosendahl. And that's the following question. Consider X a Banach space equipped with a normalized basis En, and assume that every normalized block sequence of En has a subsequence equivalent to En. Does it follow that En is equivalent to the canonical basis of C0 or LP? So first I should say that Haskell told me this morning that he doesn't remember he asked this question, but I'm not going to be able to give an answer, so that's fine. Actually, so we are going to give a partial answer to that question, and then some reason to think that if we want to find a non-trivial example, one has to use techniques that, I don't know, it's complicated techniques. Okay, just a few definitions and So such a basis will be called a Rosendahl basis, and I just recall that two basic sequences are equivalent if the map in Xn to Yn extends to an isomorphism, and they are C equivalent if we can find an isomorphism with a control on the norm of T and T-1. And if you have a basis, the block sequence is just a sequence which is finitely supported on En, and which is successive in the sense that the maximum of the support of Xn is smaller than the minimum of support of Xn plus 1 for all n. This is a natural question because of the theorem of Zipin. This is a natural strengthening of the theorem of Zipin, which states that if you have a normalized basis and such that every normalized block sequence is equivalent to En, so you don't need to pass through a subsequence, then En is actually equivalent to the canonical basis of C0 LP. When you look at the proof of Zipin, it starts by proving that there is uniformity, and it will turn out to be essential for the previous problem, the problem of Rosendahl. But before stating results, I want to relate the question to, well, Ramsey-type questions. So I think this problem is interesting because it links two types of sub-basis, sub-sequences and block sequences. So let us have a look at what would happen if you would weaken the property by, for example, requiring that only every subsequence has a subsequence equivalent to EI. Then it's easy, using Ramsey theorem, it's easy to check that this is equivalent to subsymmetry, which means, well, first you can find a subsequence such that any further subsequence is equivalent, and because of the Rosendahl property, you can deduce that for the original space. So this is just subsymmetry, any subsequence is equivalent to the basis. And if you look at Schumacher space, it is a non-trivial example. So, on the other hand, if you just check, just require that every block has a further block which is equivalent, which I call property B, well, once again, first I should say that in this setting one would like to use Gower theorem, but one doesn't seem to get something very interesting for it. I will talk about this again a little bit later. But once again, Schumacher space is a non-trivial example. So it seems that we really need to consider Rosendahl property to have a relevant problem. And well, this time Shrimpraspet is not Rosenthal. So, okay, and I want to mention a theorem by Anja Pelzer related to two properties, which I call A and B. She proved that a Banach space saturated with subspaces with A, or in other words, a Banach space saturated with subsymmetric basic sequences, must contain a minimal subspace and even more contains a subspace with property B. So this is an instance of a theorem which mixes a property concerning blocks and a property concerning subsequences. So I think that's interesting, because we don't have many techniques. Well, we have techniques for subsequences and subsequences and for blocks and blocks, but not for mixing of the two. Actually, Shrimprecht defined class 1 and class 2 spaces. So the definition is as follows. So it's a property of Banach spaces with a basis. X will have class 1 if every block of En has a subsequence which is equivalent to some subsequence of the basis. And it has class 2 if for every block of En you can find further blocks, Xn and Yn, such that the map going from Xn to Yn extends to a bounded strictly singular operator, which means that it's highly non-anisomorphism. Strictly singular means that no restriction of this operator is an isomorphism. And he proved, Schlumpress proved, that the space S is of class 2, so it's not of class 1. It's not a non-trivial example to Rosenthal question. And he conjectured that every Banach space contains a class 1 or class 2 subspace. Okay, so I first want to state a proposition. Actually, it's more a lemma than a proposition. So assume X has a Rosenthal basis En, then En is subsymmetric and conditional. It is equivalent to the unit basis of C0 or L1, or X is reflexive, and in that case all spreading models in X are equivalent. So proof. Well, first, En satisfies the property which I called A before. So, by Ramsey, some subsequence must be subsymmetric because any subsequence has a further subsequence which is equivalent to En, and you can get back the property for En. By renorming, you may assume that En is one subsymmetric. Then, by Brunel and Sonchesten, they prove that if you consider the basis E to n plus 1 minus E to n, it is unconditional, because in the case where En is one subsymmetric. And clearly this is a block of En, so by the Rosenthal property some subsequence must be equivalent to En, so it means that En is also unconditional. Okay, I just here recall somehow the definition of a spreading model. A spreading model in X is some sequence space generated by the semi-normalized basic sequence Xn in X. And what is the semi-normalized basic sequence Xn in X? It's, you have a control on the norm of the Xn's, and if you take finite sums of lambda I Xn I, if you go far enough, you get them as close as you want to the norm corresponding to the basis Sn. Actually, the question of Rosenthal relates to a question by Angiros. He asks, assume you have a Banach space and that all spreading models in the Banach space are equivalent, must it be that all these spreading models are equivalent to C0 or LP? And Androulakis, Sodel, Schumpeter, and Topchak-Jegermann gave a partial answer. This proves that it's true if you can get if the spreading models are C equivalent for some fixed constant C. Okay, so this, of course, encourages us to define a basis to be C Rosenthal if any block sequence of En has a subsequence C equivalent to En, and we can prove that a C Rosenthal basis must be equivalent to C0 or LP. In fact, it is enough to have the following property. Any identically distributed block sequence is C equivalent to En. So I'm going to give the definition of an identically distributed block in the next slide. So I should say that the proof is really similar to what Androulakis and Odell from French and Topchak-Jegermann did. And I'm going actually to give the proof, which is short. Yes, I can also generalize it to, not generalize, but I can have it in this case. Yes, yes. I'm not going to mention it here, but so, yeah, it's, there is also a partial result when one is in the Krivin set of a sequence. Okay, so proof first, as I said above, we may assume that the sequence is one subsymmetric and, well, suppression unconditional, which means that the norm of the vector diminishes as if you suppress one coordinate. What is an identically distributed block sequence? It is something of the form, it is a sequence such that xn is a copy of a given vector. By copy, I mean you just take a vector and you shift it to the right far enough, like you iterate the shift, so the mapping en to en plus 1. Far enough, and then you get the same coordinates for the vector. So, of course, all these vectors have the same norm in the case where the basis is one subsymmetric. And in that case, Krivin theorem takes the following form. You can find a P such that for all epsilon and for all k, you find some identically distributed block sequence of length k, which is 1 plus epsilon equivalent to LPK. So if you go back to the sequence of the space well, it is C equivalent to the identically distributed block sequence, so C 1 plus epsilon equivalent to LPK. This is true for any k, so finally it is the basis equivalent to LP for the P which is in the Krivin set. Okay. Next proposition proves that actually we can get one side, I mean, we can get control of the constant on one side. So, say that if En is a Rosenthal basis, then you can find a constant that Enk dominates any of its normalized identically distributed block sequences. So, to check that it is C0 or LP, it is enough to just to control one side. And I'm not going to give the proof, but it uses the result of the same authors about spreading models. I recall that xn dominates yn is the map. Mapping xn to yn extends to a bounded operator, and c dominates if you can control the norm of the operator. Okay, so there are nice consequences of this fact, of this proposition 3. Thank you. Okay, so first, assume you have horizontal property in X and also in the dual, then you get that X must be isomorphic to C0 or LP. And actually, well, if you take, you pick any horizontal basis for X, it is equivalent to C0 or LP. In fact, this is natural because if, by the previous proposition, you have a uniform control on one side, but if you have this in the space and in the dual, by if you dualize, you will get in X, say, you will get a control on both sides. Okay, for next proposition, I want to consider the set of normalized block basis of En, En being the basis of X, and I equip this set with the product of the discrete topology on X. I want to talk about continuity of the map. So, proposition 5. So, if you have horizontal property, it means that you have a map, phi mapping any block sequence to a subsequence which is equivalent to En. So assume that this map can be chosen to be continuous. So you have a map phi from mapping any block sequence, normalized block sequence of X to a subsequence, which is equivalent to En. Then you get the result. En is actually equivalent to the unit basis of C0 or LP. One can either require a bit less. It is enough to be able to select a continuous function mapping X to a subsequence which dominates En. And of course, you still need En to be horizontal, so you also have a map which is not necessarily continuous mapping any block to a subsequence which is equivalent. But it's enough to control the continuity to a subsequence which dominates En. Okay, so what does this mean? I mean, this continuity, I want to give an interpretation of this. So this is a remark. I'm going back to the question about weakening the property by only requiring that any block has a further block equivalent to En, not a subsequence, a further block. But first one can notice that by diagonalization it's possible to find a constant such that any block has a further block which is C equivalent to En. So in that case, for that property, you get a constant for free. So that's different from the case of the subsequences. Also, if you apply Gower's dichotomy theorem, well, it means that you would have a winning strategy for, okay, if you consider a game where the first player will, well, that's Gower's game, you have the first player plays blocks of spaces, the second player will pick a vector in this block, in this block subspace, and player 2 will try to build a block sequence which is C equivalent to En. So by Gower's dichotomy theorem, player 2 will have a winning strategy to produce a block sequence which is, if you wish, C plus epsilon equivalent to En. If you choose to use Gower's game in the form defined by Bagaria and Lopez-Abad, it means that player one will, instead of playing an infinite dimensional block subspace, will play block vectors. And what about player two? Well, player two will wait until until he picks a block in the finite block that's produced by player one. So player two does not play all the time, but at some point he picks one vector, one vector. This means that, well, the winning strategy for two will actually produce a continuous map. So this is really different from the property defined by Rosenthal. For property B, you get a constant and continuity for free, and in Rosenthal, well, if you have that, then it's a trivial case. Okay, so if I go back to proposition 5, I'd like to think of it as saying the following thing. What if you were to try to find a non-trivial example to Rosenthal property? Well, first you would need space not to be C0 or LP, and further it cannot contain C0 or LP, because then you could find C0 or LP as a block, and then you would get that the space is actually C0 or LP. It must have an initial subsymmetric basis, so you would like to start with Schlüter space, for example, and then add something to get Rosenthal property. Well, proposition 5 says that a non-trivial Rosenthal space cannot be found using a construction on finite sequences, and I like to think of Gauss-Murray construction as an example of this. It's exactly that you are able to, I mean, if you look at the space, HI space constructed by Gauss and Murray, you are able to produce vectors satisfying the HI property, building them inductively, and you first take a block, find some block sequence, finite block sequence, and then go further away and repeat. So it really means that well, if one wants to find a non-trivial example, one has to find new techniques. Maybe they exist, but I don't know them. I want to end by talking about Argyros question, so which I stated before. His question was, if all spreading models in a Banach space are equivalent, must they be equivalent to C0 or LP? Related question is, if a Banach space has only countably many non-equivalent spreading models, then does it follow that one of them has to be C0 or LP? So first thing, one could ask a similar question for class 1 spaces defined by Schoenprecht. So I must have a slide somewhere. Assume that you can satisfy that the space is of class 1, and to check the class 1 property, you only need a countable number of subsequences of the basis. Then what can you say? I don't know. So our last proposition goes in the other direction. It says what happens if you have really many non-equivalent spreading models. So if you have at least countably many, it says that if X is a separable Banach space, then either there are only countably many non-equivalent spreading models, or there are continually many mutually non-equivalent spreading models. So that's the descriptive set theory proof. Just consider the set of basic sequences which generate a spreading model. Then S will be a Borel subset of the Polish space X to the power omega. And we can define an equivalence relation on S which will be Borel as follows. We just say that S and T are equivalent if the spreading models they generate are equivalent. So on the next slide, I go in details about this. Well, S is indeed Borel because, well, you can characterize what I mean by a sequence generator spreading model if you have this property. And equivalence is this. So clearly Borel. And then you can use Silva theorem. You have the Borel equivalence relation on the Borel subset of Polish space. So the conclusion follows. You have only countably many classes of equivalence for a counter set of mutually non-equivalent elements of S. Of course, it corresponds to the same thing for equivalence of spreading models, because two elements of S are equivalent for the relation if and only if their spreading models are equivalent. So the same conclusion follows for spreading models. One could also wonder about a theorem of this type for, again, for those class one spaces. Can you say something in the same direction? Okay, thank you for your attention.